Hi guys, welcome back to Talks with Maria and episode number 112. We are talking with business coach Aria Almeida. She's also the member of the Podcasting for Women in Business. We are talking about the journey of entrepreneurship. She's sharing with us the things to avoid as a new entrepreneur, a new online business owner, and just giving us some valuable information so that you guys can take that and apply it in your own business. Please remember to check out talkswithmaria.com and The Boss Mom Mentality, available on Amazon. Let's begin. Welcome, business coach and podcast host of the Brand Boss Podcast, Aria Almeida. How are you today?
So good. And I'm super excited to join you here. Thank you.
We are excited to have you, and we're excited to pick your brain on your journey of entrepreneurship and really let the audience know of, what's the best methods to move forward in their journey, what to avoid, and all of that. So we're super excited to have you. So are you drinking an afternoon drink out there in Germany?
I am. I guess I didn't sleep in as long as I normally do today. So I have my iced coffee. It's not beer, people. I am sorry to disappoint you that it's not the German beer, but it is some iced coffee because it's starting to finally get warmer here. It's the middle of the afternoon. I don't know why. I feel like today is an app day, like it's already Sunday. And I think that just speaks to, like, I've had a really freaking busy day. So that's it.
What is the earliest time you drank beer?
11 a.m.
Oh my God.
Is that really early?
11 a.m. I mean, I guess if you say, like, you drank a Bloody Mary, right?
No, here in Germany, I'm trying to remember if my life was different before, but here in Germany, I remember my husband and I were in Berlin and we went to the Berlin Zoo. So we got up, spanking early so that we can take the kid. And we're walking by like a little bodega type of place, like that's right next to a restaurant. I'm guessing it was like the little store that opens before the restaurant opens. And there were a few older gentlemen just sitting outside drinking beer. And we were like, it's like 8 a.m.
It's their breakfast.
I think it was like maybe they were done with their shift for the night. And like, I don't know. Or maybe it was their breakfast. Who knows? But like, you just drink at all times here. It's so normal. Just sad because of COVID-19, the beer fest, the Oktoberfest is being canceled.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. A lot of events here are being canceled and have been canceled. And it's, it's a different environment. But it's okay. We can handle this. I do want to still ask you a bunch of questions about Germany, but we'll jump right into the entrepreneurship journey you've had. What are the three mistakes did you experience in the beginning stages of your entrepreneurship?
I love this. I love this question, especially because we kind of talked about it a little bit. We had a teaser of it back on my podcast a couple episodes ago on Brand Boss. Three regrets that I have that I was so easily able to identify for you all really took me back to a beautiful time, which was just a year ago. But in entrepreneurship, like, 1 month is like 7 years, right?
Like, that is so true. Yeah, that is so true.
You kind of earn your stripes day by day by day in entrepreneurship. So different from, especially maybe like a corporate job where you can like wear the newbie hat for, like a whole year and get away with it. Of like being ignorant to everything. Whereas like in entrepreneurship, you have the chance to be exposed to so many different things that you can't, like we just said, earn your stripes day by day by day. So it just goes by super quickly. So one of the biggest regrets that I had, or that I have about my earlier journey, was just not being confident with what I had to offer. Like, I really doubted what was going on with me, the skill set that I had to bring to the table, the sort of value that I could give, like, to the point where I was like, here are some steps that I could do to build my email list. I would sort of like draw it blank, like, but what could I give them? I have no freaking idea, like, how to write a resume. I didn't know kind of where to start. But it was because I just wasn't confident. I think a lot of the time that I had spent looking for a job and not being successful at it because of other circumstances that were not due to my skills, but other circumstances, I let that get into my head. And I let it say the wrong things to me. And I really let it kind of unravel the success mindset that I had spent already so long working up to, and just kind of really dwindled my confidence. And so that was one of my biggest regrets. And I'm going to, I have also an offering of things to do to sort of get over it. Do you want me to talk about them now, or would you like me to talk about them sort of after we go through the three regrets?
Yeah, why don't we go through all of the regrets, then we'll do that.
The bad news, and then give the good news.
And then make them, yeah, make them feel shitty, then love them up afterwards.
All right. Yeah, that was like one of my biggest regrets, because it impacted so many different parts of what I was trying to build. And so I talk all the time about being authentic and being aligned. That's going to lead you into masterful action. And I'm going to say right now that when you're not confident, that's the first signal that you have that you are not aligned with what you're doing. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you're not aligned. And so it's a great opportunity for you to sort of step back and be like, okay, wait, let me just take a breather first and kind of check back into what I'm doing.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So my second one, my second regret was asking opinions and affirmations from people who were not my audience, who are not my client, who weren't even people who were aligned with what I was doing.
Okay.
Like, I wish I met you a year ago, right?
Because girl, are you telling me that? Yes, I agree.
Have been the kind of person who I should have been listening to for opinions and affirmations or support, where instead I was getting that or I was seeking that from totally the wrong people.
Okay.
And it was making me
like, can you give us an example of that? Like, what do you mean?
Yes. One great
give us
example.
The juice.
One really good example was I was so obsessed with the vanity metrics, with the number of followers, with all of that stuff.
Okay.
And I think every new entrepreneur gets into that, or anyone who's trying to build anything for the first time, you totally get sucked into that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was like, who in my network, who is the first person closest to me that has an amazing social network and like really engaging and just powerful? And it was my niece.
Your niece.
She's not 15.
That's so
she's
funny.
In her 20s, but like, okay. She's my best friend. I talked to her every single day. She knew what I was doing, but she had an amazing social network. Like, she could be off of social for like a week and hop back on, and everyone's like, oh my God, what have you been doing? What are you up to? Like, everybody she knew her. But I was so obsessed with her. Like, I wanted her metrics.
Which was and what?
Which was like a great following, so many engagements, like so many people sharing the stuff that she's doing.
Okay.
So like just knowing that like she was somebody who could like go and like try the latest coffee, and then everyone's like, wait, what coffee is it? Like, what is
it? Oh, okay, like that.
People, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like her opinions that I was asking, and it was like her sort of like partnerships and all of that stuff that I was asking. And I would be like, someone write this email, tell me what you think. And so I would buff it up according to like her feedback, or I would create headlines according to her feedback. I would even take photos like according to her feedback. And I regret it because it wasn't authentic to me. It wasn't authentic to like my real value. Mm. And so I just like, while I love her opinion and I value her opinion, not for that, not for my business. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
She wasn't my client. She was like 100% not my client. Instead, her mom is, right? Like my sister more so is. So why aren't I asking my sister? Why aren't I like connecting with my sister? But now that I've really gotten and had recognized that, like, now it's like my sister is just like, oh my God. And I was like listening to your podcast yesterday. Like it just totally like made me put everything down. Like, you know, she's like, it was reaching her. And I'm like, yes. See, if I just did this a year ago, it would be in such a different place. So that was my number two regret. And did you have anything like that happen to you?
Yeah, early on, remember when I started that business and I don't think I told you that when I did get that investor, I was in partnership with a best friend.
Mm.
So that was kind of like, you know, trying to get support because I felt not confident in myself just as a solopreneur. Because really that's a reflection, like you need validation outside. So when I started this, I told myself, no matter what, I'm going to do this by myself. I don't need to go out there because I that relationship's gone. Like we are no longer friends. And so that was like a huge life lesson for me. So yeah, totally understand it. I think that a lot of entrepreneurs do go into that, especially if they've never done it before. They do want to have that support. Right. When like that hand in hand holding, like, hey, we're in it together, right? Like, hey, let's do this together, walk down the scary journey together. But you know, and you have to do it. You have to grow. You have to be a thick-skinned person.
Yeah.
Let's go to your third regret.
Well, that's a perfect segue because my number three, probably my biggest regret, was shying away from making serious boss moves. Like, I still remember the day that I said, okay, I'm closing my resume folder and I am going to open up a business of my own. Like, I remember those words so clearly. I remember where I was. I remember the feeling. I remember all of that. But after that, because I was so, it's almost like, again, like that newbie excuse that I was like allowing myself to put on of like, oh, I'm so new at this. I don't need to really make those moves right now. Or like, ooh, like maybe that's too much too soon, you know, things like that. Yeah. And I regret that because there are some really serious business moves, some serious boss moves that you can make so early on, even when you don't feel like you're an expert at, you know, managing an email campaign or even just your mindset or how much money that you can allow yourself to be making. I think that's one big one, is that a lot of entrepreneurs hold themselves back from like, how much money could I be making, just because they feel like they're not serious in it enough. They're not like deep in it enough to be making those kinds of moves. And I regret that big time because I think I could have been doing even better earlier on if I just gave myself the chance to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's huge because, you know, that's probably thousands and thousands of dollars left on the table, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And that is a huge thing. I think that also goes back to just feeling not ready and not that validation. You know, people will want that validation, like, it's good enough. Your course and program and service, it's good enough to command a couple of $1,000 price point. Mm-hmm. It's good enough, right? And you don't get that confidence I think on a whim, is either you get that from a support outside or from time and time again, you're just like, okay, I have to do it.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you about like how crazy this mindset impacted me. Sorry about that. Asher.
Oh, it's okay. He was in the last show.
He's always like, I can't.
He's our guy.
Yeah, he's like my little partner, but like, you see this, like, this is so distracting.
Is that a poodle? Do you have a poodle?
He's a cockapoo, so cocker spaniel poodle. He's a mix.
Oh my God. I'm not cutting this out. We have to keep the poodle in the conversation. So what was your story? I'm sorry.
So my story is, I had done this sort of campaign and I was offering people the chance to work one-on-one with me, in a private coaching sort of platform. Mm-hmm. And I went into it knowing that I should, like, this is big, big value. And so I should sell it as that. And I shied away from it so much that every single person who said yes to me, and I kid you not, they said yes to me that they would do this for like a lot of money, like a few thousand dollars a person, okay? Like anywhere from like $3,000 to $5,000 a person. I shied away from it so much that the only person I immediately booked really only paid me $1,200 for their session. That was like really sort of what they needed at the time. But I also think that I myself shied away from making those big moves and had only offered her really that smaller package. And everybody else who I convinced myself like, yes, they're gonna say yes to this, I was like, okay, I'm gonna follow up with you. I didn't close the freaking sale. I didn't, like, what the hell, right? Like, they gave me a freaking yes. And I didn't follow up with a contract, like an immediate follow up with a contract or a payment plan or payment or whatever, any of it. And I basically waited a month. Like, in retrospect, if I look at the time scale, it was like 3 weeks. And in between then, yeah, I like send them an email like, hey, just checking in. Like, how are you doing? Are you still interested? Yes. And then waited again. And of course, what happened was none of them paid the price. None of them ended up following through with the program. And it all happened in one day. And I just remember being like, oh, like, this is just the worst. I'm the worst. They're the worst. Like, I hate everybody. I'm done with this. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm sitting on my dining table and my dad's across the way from me. My husband's next to me.
My dad's God.
Like, are you okay? I was just like, I like slammed my phone down. I was like, I just got another regrets email. Like, I'm just through this, you know? And they were both like, can we just enjoy dinner right now?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, it was just the worst. But I know that I had to take full responsibility for what happened. I shied away from it so much because I was too afraid of my own power that I was the one who then created the real outcome, which was, to your point, loss of dollars. And that sucked. It sucks so much.
Yo, that's a lot of pain, girl. Yeah. That's a painful story. I think entrepreneurship, you know, not even really entrepreneurship. I think it's the sales. The sales part really brings up a lot of our fears, like fears of money, fears of large sums of money. Yes. What are we responsible for now that we take on those yep. thousands of dollars? What do we bring forth? What service do I give her my life now that she gave me? do we give her a child now? Do I give her one of my kids? Like, you know, just these questions and scary thoughts. So Yeah, no, that's that's, I think a lot of entrepreneurs go through the same thing.
Yeah.
It's scary. It 100%,
is. 100%. I think that for me, myself, like some of my biggest breakthroughs in my own coaching journey is definitely my money mindset. And I practiced money mindset, or I have money mindset as part of what I work on with my students. But I'm learning so much more, and I'm seeing so many new opportunities of giving people even more money, mindset strategies, and just sort of toolboxes that I feel like here going forward is going to be super powerful in terms of like what I could offer my clients in terms of money mindset. Because to your point, sales, I think we tell ourselves we're not salespeople. Like we're great at like creating things, or we're great at like helping people, or we're great at talking to people, or whatever these other strengths are, but we're not good at sales. But what it actually is you're not good at, or you're not, it's the inner confidence of, you know, what it's going to bring in the end, or you know, who you have to tell. Like you're getting, like I had a client who literally would not make more sales. And we realized it's because she didn't want to pay more taxes. She didn't want to cross a tax line.
So she's afraid of the government.
She was afraid of the government. She was afraid of giving away her money. And that was the only reason that stopped her from making more sales. Isn't that crazy?
That energy
approaching that line, and she'd back fully away.
That's a terrible energy to have as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's a good thing that she knows exactly what it is, because people don't. They just say, oh, unfair. Pause.
Yeah.
No, but you were able to put up a mirror and say, hey, it's because of this. Do you want to stay at this level, or do you want to break past your ceiling, your income ceiling? Is that a donut? Is he saying, can I have a donut, mommy? Oh, no, yeah. You're like, no, give me a donut while I'm doing this podcast.
No, you don't even know. I was doing my live last night, and he like comes with this box of donuts. And I'm just like, awkward.
I love that. No, that's super great. I love, you know, you can't shield that. You have to be like, yo, got some donuts.
It was also 9 o'clock at night.
Hey, people like donuts at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's huge. Good for you, girl. I'm so like, I love hearing stories where you overcame something super powerful. Now you share different things with your own clients because it resonates with you. I believe that we attract the clients we need to, so we can break through our own stuff.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I think the best part about that very regrettable situation in my that I had is that while I didn't book those sessions with them, or like those programs with them, they're still around. They're still listening to me. They're still hearing me. They're still trusting me. They didn't shut the door on me. And I think that's exactly my takeaway, is like, they were kind of my tool for me to recognize the money mindset I really had to get over, the confidence mindset that I really had to get over, to not just serve myself and like create a beautiful business, but to better serve my clients who I really want to serve, you know, in the end.
And yeah.
Well, yes, I could have done things differently, and I could have had a shit ton of more money in my back pocket or in my bank account. I think it served a purpose, and so I'm still really happy about the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like building blocks. You know, you don't jump to middle school. Like
I think I would have regretted it more had I quit, but I didn't quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you didn't.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you why I didn't quit.
Okay.
And how I got over these regrets.
There you go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Good segue, right? so I guess starting with the third regret, how I got over this regret and really was able to turn it into something positive and something, and not let it get me down and actually even make that money back or have that money show back up into my business is I had a coach. I was able to get a coach to help me recognize what had happened. And I think that for so many of us who are coaches, that we think that like if our client loses money, that, you know, bad on us. Like, no, no, those results were not her own. But instead, I was able to go through that experience. I fully owned that those results. But I had somebody who had my back to really show me what had happened, what I needed to grow from, what the facts were. Right? Like, help me really own up to what was regrettable about the situation and how I can learn from it and how I could do something different. And really, that's just the simple healer and the simple trick and the simple, like, how better you can do is by having a coach. Like, I didn't just have a mentor to be like, good job, or here's what I did. I really had somebody, sorry, hold on.
No, I totally understand that, because not only did I also experience the same thing, but I've done maybe about 15 failed sales calls, and then my 16th was a win. It took me 15 failed sales calls, like literally in the trenches, in my heart, my feelings, like torture, insecurity, 15 times.
Yeah. And
I had no coach. See the difference between someone who has a coach and right. someone who's just out here in the war zone by themselves.
Yeah, that's
with,
I mean,
no, like, no roadmap, just shooting at everything, you know?
It's true. I mean, great statistic to share, right? One campaign versus like 15 sales calls.
it's a story to speak on, because people are afraid of those. I was terrified, but in order for me to learn, I had to either I go pay for a coach or I go and die and wake up and die 15 times
alone.
And yeah. If I could have curved my time frame, I would have totally just gotten a coach. Maybe did two fails, and then the third one was like a cha-ching, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. And remember, like, I remember me sitting on the dining table being like, I'm done. I give up. I hate everybody. Like, everybody sucks. Like, you're the problem. I'm not the problem. Like, I had all of those emotions. And, you know, there were two men sitting in front of me, like, life's not that serious. Right? Or like, it's like, just chill out. Like, you're just having a moment right now. But honestly, I think that, like, I'm a multi-layered person, right? I don't just have a business. I have a family. I was on Guam at the time, and I live in Germany. I have family all around the world. I have a husband. I have a child. I have all these things going on with me. And so it's always, like, any move I make, any big, anything that causes me to sacrifice any part of my time, it's always going to be a question of whether or not it's worth it. And I think that early on in my business, it was so easy to be like, I'm done. I don't need this kind of like negativity in my life. Like, let me go and like enjoy my sunshine and my beach and like my German like beer and just like let me be. But, you know, I had somebody to keep me accountable to the fact that I said, I'm gonna create this business and I'm gonna do something real. Like, I'm gonna make something out of this for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super powerful. Getting a coach, keeping you accountable, giving you the support, giving you the tools you need to just remember that it's so worth showing up for yourself even when you fail.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, I started in corporate America and worked for a business coach. And when I did my own thing, I was so adamant about not having a business coach.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell was I thinking?
Because you thought you can do it.
I was so stubborn. I think it's because I knew the back end operation. I knew the systems, the all of these different mindsets. I knew the roadmap. Mm-hmm. But it isn't about just knowing the roadmap. It's about having that positive person, you know, hey, this is your 15th thing. You need to change something, lady.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
You don't do that on your own.
Like I come from a marketing background, right? I was in corporate America, like doing branding and marketing for like, I was making the company's amazing freaking money, right? Like growing their brands for already big brands. Who does that, right? Like I was really successful at what I did. And so I thought, I could do this. Like if this is supposed to be my business, I could do this. And then I started doing it and I was just like, I could, but it shouldn't be that much hard. Like
if no.
I could do this, like,
yeah,
I need to know that there is a way that it doesn't have to be that much harder. And like, I remember I did like free clients. I like did pro bono clients.
Oh no.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. It was really the thing that made me learn that I wanted to do coaching and not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But it was, that was exactly it. Like if I could see what my clients need, I need to own up to them. I need that same thing too.
Yeah.
So that's really what like got me to open my eyes that I needed a coach.
Yeah. 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 No, that's huge.
The other thing that I did to get over one of my regrets, which was, you know, listening to the wrong people and opinions and affirmations. Like, let me just repeat that. Opinions and affirmations are just like what you don't need in business. Like that's what we need, I think, as humans, especially women, right? Like love language of affirmation, things like that. We tend to give opinions like we're mean girls. Like that's the culture we sort of grow up in. And I think that's what social media kind of gets us used to. But instead, what we really need is information of empowerment. Like information that are based on, yes, they can definitely be based on feelings. They could be based on opinions that are not actualized, things like that. But they need to be from the right people. So I'm going to say this again. The best kind of feedback that you should be getting is information of empowerment. And so my way of getting over this and stopping listening to opinions and affirmations from the wrong people telling me like, "Ooh, girl, your outfit was cute on that post," right? Like, I don't care about that. Like, I care if you're like paying attention to what I'm talking about and that right. Like you find value in what I'm doing. That is market research. And I think that, you know, when you hear coaches, when you hear entrepreneurs say, do market research, like, oh, I'm not some big company that's going to go out and do market research. You don't have to. Like you can look through your contacts, your own personal network, and you can be like, you know what? You're the kind of person I would want to have buying from me, whether it's a product or a service, a coaching, whatever your business may be. You can definitely recognize this person within your own network and you get to know them and you ask them things and you can ask them a few very simple questions. What are you struggling with? Right? And have that question kind of framed up in relation to what it is that you can offer them. What are you struggling with? What are you looking for? Because people always think that they know that what their answers are. They think they already know what their results are. And then you follow that up. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
No kids, they just don't know when they're making noise. So ask them, what are they struggling with? What are they looking for and why? So the why is very, very important because that helps you get to know even more kind of maybe what they're looking for, but it could tell you a little bit more of what they actually really truly want. And so this is you really understanding the pains that they're going through and the gains that they're looking for. And those are two really fundamental things of that are necessary for you to understand whether or not you're giving value. You're actually being anybody of value to the people that you ultimately want to buy from you. And those are the opinions that matter. That is the information of empowerment that matters in terms of turning that regret of other people's opinions and the vanity metrics and all of that into something that's so much more valuable.
So when you ask those questions, are you asking them from prospects that will turn into clients eventually?
I've done that. So I've literally gone and done this market research sort of like at one phase, created things around it, whether it be content or even a whole program around it. And then, yes, I've been able to go back and pitch to them and be like, hey, so I have this to offer you. I know that this is what you're going through. Okay. Is this what you'd like to come and work with me on?
Okay.
So even when they know that they're doing market research with you, it is 100% totally okay to go back and actually see them then as a prospect.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. This is really useful because especially for the new entrepreneurs who are kind of just listening to gurus, those who are, you know, well ahead of the actual entrepreneur's journey. Like this person is starting from point A and then this person's already at Z. And it's hard to determine, okay, do I do everything Z's saying or do I take the next step, which is going to B, which is doing your market research, right? And understanding what the audience wants, really.
Yeah.
Very useful.
That's the only information that matters when you're really trying to, at the end of the day, run a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third thing that I did to get over my regrets was really tap into my why. And I think, like, I feel like I've been saying this so much, but it's also because this is for any entrepreneur at any stage in their entrepreneurial journey. So definitely for those who are still trying to figure out what their thing is, what their brand is, what their value is, what their offer is, all of that. When you're trying to figure it out, your why is super important. But for all of us in any part of our entrepreneurial journey, it is important for us to better identify with that why because it's going to evolve. But it's also like our North Star, right? It is our North Star to always know that no matter what new channel we're getting into, we're doing it for the right reasons. Or whoever it is we're choosing to serve next, we're doing it for the right reasons. Like a good example is, and my coach helped me figure this out, when I first kind of got into coaching, I was listening to a lot of the gurus who were being like, just be really narrow-minded about who it is you're serving because that's really going to help you stay focused. Like follow your niche, like create a single avatar and just go for them, go for them, go for them. And I tell you all the time, like, you have no idea how many times my coach has been like, Arya, stop resisting going out of that little comfort zone because while I'm really good at growing businesses, like helping businesses see their opportunity to scale and like what their other opportunities are, may not be for scaling, it could be for rebranding, things like that. I'm also really good at helping new entrepreneurs start their path, like get up and get going and create and start their businesses. And I doubted that for a long time. Like, no, it's not within my niche. Like, I'm not supposed to be like going out to outer waters. And she was like, girl, why are you holding back? What is your problem? You know?
That's and
she
funny.
Would always remind me, like, why are you in this? Why are you wanting to be a coach? Why do you want to help people build brands? And I was like, because I don't want them to experience that stage of stuck in that like feeling of discontent from being so stuck and being in one still place all the time. She's like, and that, if that's your reason, you need to know that those other people need you too. And I'm just like, oh yeah.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. There it is.
Or even like, I'm for the service-based entrepreneur. I'm a coach for coaches. And she's like, but you're really good at coaching people who run product lines. Like, oh yeah. She's like,
no.
Ew.
No.
As long as I stay with my why and I can find consistency there, I'm really truly building a brand. But if I'm staying with those sort of like best practices and never really fully being confident about me and what I'm able to provide.
Yeah.
I'm never going to grow my business. I'm going to stay small. I'm going to stay at level one. I'm going to stay at, you know, making just a few $100 here and there. I'm going to stay at a very limited capacity of the world when I know deep within myself from all the inner work that I've done that I deserve a slice of the world.
Yes.
And it is my time to come and get it. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. It sounds like a delicious slice.
Right?
Yes. Give me that slice. No, that's huge. I totally feel you on that, because a lot of people fear taking on more than what they in their mind they prepared for.
Yeah.
I've only prepared for this. I did not prepare for that.
Yeah.
Give me a month. Right.
Or like, don't, let's just not talk about it. Like,
let's just not. Yeah. 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 And people will really like believe it too. Like in their mind, like, no, it's not me. It's not my calling. It's not what resonates with me. They think it's not what resonates, but it's really their fear that they're identifying with.
Right. I think one thing that happens is people want to get there really fast.
Yes.
But when they are told what it takes to get there really fast, they don't run towards it. Instead, they're running like the other direction, and they think that just because they're getting some kind of momentum that they're going in the right path, but instead it's just like they don't realize that they're going at the speed they need to go to, but in the wrong direction.
Right. They're going farther from their goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a coach is there for, you know, to teach them that, which is huge. I love this. This conversation is so literally the journey of an entrepreneur. You know, going from understanding that you want to make a bigger impact. You said you worked for corporate America, growing a marketing in marketing and business development, right?
Yeah.
Then now you are a thriving coach and you have a school. Talk about that. We want to hear about it.
Yes. So, oh my God, I love this. So I'm going to give you like a personal anecdote about this whole thing. When I started my coaching journey in terms of like being coached, I was always in.
Do you hear him? He's drinking water really loud.
So when I started like getting into coaching and like hiring my own coach, I was always in group programs. But when I started my own business, it was always designed around one-on-one, working one-on-one. And I kind of had a come to Jesus moment late last year of like, I really thrive in group coaching situations. And why am I keeping my own clients from that situation? Like they could actually really benefit. They could actually really thrive in a group coaching situation. And so that's when I decided to go ahead and open up the Brand Boss Business School. Now, mind you, I started the Brand Boss podcast and it was kind of like, that was really the thing that helped me feel like now's your time. Now is your time for the business school. And so I created the business school to really be a group coaching program that will give, either established entrepreneurs, like I've had people go through that in the last class, rebranding themselves actually, or completely new entrepreneurs, like people who left their 9-to-5 jobs in wanting to start up their own business. And this is the perfect program because it gives you, it guides you through your entire foundation of what it is you need to build a brand that will actually create a thriving business. So I'll help you really create and establish your brand, really step into both strategy as well as the mindset that it takes to really be a thriving entrepreneur. And not only like just get you started, but you actually create roadmaps for your own business, which is really awesome because you kind of come out of it and you're like, ooh, I could see my future and what, you know, my plans are for however it is you mark those days, however it is you mark those months or those milestones. You're able to really see it and know, leave the business school knowing that you have a plan of attack to go and like really create a thriving business. And so it's really awesome. And I do it a little bit different, actually. I put people into smaller groups because I still really believe in the power of one-on-one coaching. And so I put everyone into smaller groups so that they could create, they can have like a much more thriving like partnership with their fellow students. So it kind of ends up like you're in a mastermind actually, because you so more so intimately know each other and you get to create really awesome relationships. And I was able to move some of my one-on-one clients and actually port them into and introduce them into the business school, because it was like, you're done with this one-on-one program, but you could still keep going. So I was able to like bring them in as well, and they loved it. They just absolutely loved that group coaching style and like being able to thrive with other people. So that is the Brand Boss Business School. And new enrollment is coming soon, but I am still, I'm just finishing up in the last class. And so I have the wait list open right now, which is going to give you a discount and a bonus module that I am not going to give at any other time. So this wait list is basically, hey, I'm raising my hands to tell you like I'm, this may be something I'm interested in doing. And it's really just securing your spot with the discount and with the social, the bonus module, which is really awesome. It's a social media module and it's training. It's basically a masterclass that you're not going to get in the regular business school. And it's really like for people who are wanting to really, really up level their game in social media.
So what are the time frames for the school? Is it like weeks?
Do you mean like how often the, so the format?
Yeah. Is it like a 6 week thing? Like
what is okay. So it's 12 weeks with one bonus week. I don't like to say 13. Weird, right?
Hey, that's cool. 12 plus one.
Yeah, basically, I give you basically 12 specific, if you really want to break it down, I give you 12 specific strategies that your business needs. And I give you the lessons on them and then the mindset that is needed to match up with it. So, you know, you're about like having your money mindset, right?
Yeah.
We have entire lessons on money mindset. We have entire strategies around systems. And there are 3 points within the program that I set up one-on-one calls with you to help you more custom fit your own strategy. Yeah. And so over the span of 12 weeks, it's a weekly module that gets released every week. And you also get not just the one-on-one time with me at 3 points, 3 very strategic points in the program. But we have weekly calls every other week. And then every alternating week from the weekly calls, we get what I call office hours. And so you're able to actually send me your work. Like if you have, if you've created a landing page and you want me to take a look at it and give you like a review, like a marketing expert review of like where your opportunity lies, how to best use like strategic points within your landing page or within your email, or even like feedback on your copy. Like I would even give you suggestions on like how to make things stronger. And that is like crazy valuable.
Oh girl. Yes.
Yeah. You could do this professionally for Capital One, you guys. Like
marketing help is like key. So yes, that's super valuable.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it could really, it just alleviates so much stress on you of whether or not like you're doing good work. Like if you're going to pour all of that into, you know, a piece of creative that you don't feel like you're not cut out for creating a freebie guide, or you're not cut out from creating marketing landing pages, I am. And I can help you and I can give you the feedback that's going to help you feel really confident about what you're putting out.
Yeah. So a lot of entrepreneurs kind of create something for their clients, but not thinking in that manner where it's like, well, my clients probably aren't killer at marketing, so let me provide that as a bonus. So it's really cool that you do that for your clients. Super yeah. valuable. Because yeah. that's different from like, here's all the information, right? And then it's like, good luck.
yeah, exactly. And I think we get so distracted by like what's pretty.
Yeah.
One hand, and then what's too hard on the other hand.
Right.
And some of us fall into this middle ground of like trying too hard to make things look pretty, and then we hate what we did.
Yeah. Because it's not really you. It's not your essence. You're not conveying you. Exactly. Who you are.
Exactly. So and perfect. When you have a coach who knows who you are and who you're serving and why you're doing it, and they can be like your second set of eyes to be like, that's not really your brand. Like, that's not really who you are. Like, what are you trying to achieve here?
Right.
It's a really great way to just sort of get out of your own way, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's huge. That's a really valuable program. So the waitlist, we'll put a link below here, and then you guys can definitely check that out.
Yeah.
And then is there anything else you're working on? Because that's a lot.
You don't even know. Yes.
What else you got, girl? Spill it.
So I still offer one-on-one programs for people who really just want kind of like soul-aligned coaching. I think you talked about that a little bit. But really, somebody who's going to kind of give you a lot more detail, a lot more. Basically, we become business best friends, business besties. And I really give you strategy, and mindset support and all of that good stuff. But I do that on a one-on-one basis. I only take a couple clients a year. And so this takes a whole process of like, you know, let's have a call, let's figure out what you want. It's really customized. That's one other thing I do. But I am really trying to turn Brand Boss podcast into a YouTube channel, because, you know, that's where people are consuming their content right now. And so I'm moving with the market. It's something I've always wanted to do, but I don't really know how to do video. So I am in the midst of figuring all that good stuff out.
Wait a second. You don't know how to, girl, I see you on video all day long. You do it all day. What are you talking about? You don't know how to do video. Right.
But that's the other thing I've been doing is I've been going live with like so many people every week. I at least do one live with somebody. And yesterday I just did a really amazing live on the subject of empowerment.
I heard. I was there.
It was so good.
Yeah.
So check out my stories. I'm going to be posting down a bunch of quotes because I had all these women tell me what they thought empowerment meant to them. And it was such a beautiful thing. It was like, it gave me chills, actually. It was crazy. And the Brand Boss Business Community is a Facebook group that I've really just evolved. And just as of last week, it really opened its doors to like really being a community. Like, Maria, you just inspired so much in me to be like, yes, this is truly what I want. I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
I never wanted to do a Facebook group. Like, I literally was telling my coach, stop making me try to do this. I don't want to do it.
There's an example of her telling you go that way and then you going that way.
Yeah, exactly. And she sneaky little ways to get me to do it.
Uh-huh.
And that she did. Because when I was ready for it, you know, I didn't have to start from ground zero. Yeah, I'm starting from like a really small list, but at least I'm not starting from zero. And I do, like, it is a community I already feel really, really proud of. Like, I'm so excited to hang up and go and like welcome all the new members in there for the week. But seeing you and seeing how much you've been showing up for your group has really made me see how I want to turn this whole Facebook group experience to being my own and how I could show up for them. So I'm just super thankful, because I think if we hadn't made this connection, I don't know that I would still be leaving my coach.
Girl, you would be. You would totally still be doing it.
So yeah, that is everything I've been doing. It's pretty crazy, but good crazy. Like,
yeah,
this is the kind of busy that I've always dreamed of being, and I want to do even more of it. So it's amazing.
Well, congratulations. It's really empowering to see women do and step into what they love.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're not tied down to like an organization, a corporation that's outside of you. You command the products and services you render. You command the clients you work with. Right. That, I think that's the best. Like I pick and choose who I work with.
Exactly. And kind of what makes up my life. You know, I think that traditionally I have the kind of life that stereotypically does not lend itself well to that. Like, I'm a military wife. I'm living abroad, even though like I'm from a tiny island, I am American. I have dogs, but I still travel. I have a 4-year-old, but we still go and do amazing adventures together. I mean, he was here during the podcast and we're doing it, right? Where I'm like, I'm not letting it stop me. I have terrible COVID hair, but I'm still showing up on video. Like, it's just this entire...
What did you call it?
COVID hair.
I actually like it. It looks like you did it with the barrel.
Thanks.
Yes.
My color's not done. Like, I was due for last application when all of this hit. So I'm just so sad about my color.
Oh, you mean your hair color. No, it looks great. I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's, you know, a lot of my sister, I messaged her on my phone and she's dyeing her hair. Like, who are you going to see? Like, save that for when it's available for people to see.
Yeah. She must be bored.
Well, I think she does a lot of these, like she'll video chat like people across like wherever. So she needs to look legit.
Yeah. I like taking care of this, right?
Well, thank you so much. We are so grateful for all of the information you've provided. I think that sharing, you know, the dark side of entrepreneurship needs to happen more often, because people think it's a lofty thing, you know, like this amazing journey that is blissful and beautiful and rainbows and butterflies. And it's not. You know, you go through your fears, you deal with every level of insecurity, money, mental, emotional, right? And then those fears come up as clients.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. They come up in different ways. And if you don't tackle those fears, you're not going to take it to the next level, and you have to. So it is really just about mindset.
You are 100% right. Absolutely. I believe in it.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for having the opportunity to come and share with you guys and provide value to you and your audience too. So I'm really thankful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And we'd love to have you here again.
Awesome. Let's do it. All right.
If you enjoyed this show, please remember to subscribe, like, and share. If you are interested in collaborating, please send me an email, info@talkswithmaria.com.